If you have your Bibles, you want to go ahead and turn to John chapter 16. Famous last words. We've been going through this pretty quick, and there's so much. I will tell you, just looking at chapter 17, when you look at Jesus' high priestly prayer, I'm going, man, I wish I could dive into that, but Easter's next Sunday, and I really don't want to preach next Sunday about what happened before he died, because next Sunday, we're not celebrating that he's dead, we're celebrating that he's alive, amen? And so I'm going, there's no way I can cover all this. But I do believe that there is, again, a passage here that many of us quote over and over. You'll remember if you've been here these last few Sundays that we looked at, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And we talked about the fact that Jesus is dealing with a real separation, but he's also dealing with a perceived separation. A real separation is with apart from Christ, you have no access to God. Zero. You don't search for him. You don't make a good choice for him. You cannot get to the Father except through the Son. He is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. There is a real separation between mankind and God, and we put it there. It's called sin. And you need the Lord. But then there's this perceived separation. They are feeling some angst, some fear, because Jesus is saying, I'm leaving. And you can't go with me right now. He's telling them he's going to die. And there's this fear, well, we're going to be without God. And no, you don't. No. You may perceive that, but that's not true. Because if you know me, if you've seen me, which means to understand, to comprehend, then you know the Father. You're not alone. By the way, how many times did we talk about that as we were going through Joshua? Be strong and courageous. But how can you do that? Because he never leaves you. Amen? Amen. Never leaves you. But then he goes on to say, we went to the next famous last words, I am the vine and you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. So we looked at that not only did he deal with first a real separation and a perceived separation, but in this passage, he's dealing with a perceived connection and a real connection. He says that there are some that they are in Christ, but they do not abide with him. They do not abide with him. They've shared in the Holy Spirit, and I'm quoting Hebrews here. They've shared in the Holy Spirit, and they have tasted the goodness of the Word of God and the heavenly gifts and the powers of the age to come, but they do not abide in Christ. And there are some who have gone down front. They've prayed with the pastor. They've gone through with baptism. And they think that this is it. I've joined a church. So there you go. I'm saved. But the question is, are you abiding in Christ? I saw this quote this week. And if you're on Facebook and you follow my Facebook page, John MacArthur said this, morality damns just like immorality. Morality damns just like immorality. And Jesus used his most scathing, his most searing, his most invective and his about the religious rite of the day. It was the Sadducees and the Pharisees, those who thought they were so moral. And that is not connecting you to God. It is abiding in Christ that connects you to God, not your morality. So how do you know? How do you know if you're connected to God? How do you know? Well, I mean, I did go down front. By the way, I went down front. Well, I did get baptized. I did too. Well, I did join a church. Me too. So how do you know? He tells us, by the fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control. Are those words that describe you? I mean, do you see yourself growing in that? Are you praying for it? And now we move on to another famous last words. In the world, you will have tribulation, but take heart. What does he say? I have overcome the world. Take heart. I have overcome the world. So I want us to read this passage, John chapter 16, verse 25 through 33, and I want us to see what Christ is saying here. In only a few hours, he will be delivered. It may be within the hour when he says these things. So let's pray and let's read God's word. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do love you. But the only reason we can even make that claim is because you first loved us. Why? I have no idea, except that your word tells us, because of your grace and your mercy on wretched sinners such as myself. And Lord, I pray that as we read your word, we will be overjoyed at what you have to say to us right before you're going to your death. And Lord, as we read your word, I pray we will be cautious in the way that you warn us right before you go to your death. So Lord, I pray that these words will penetrate our heart, change our lives. Lord, we will be people that we bear much fruit. That Lord, you will assure us that we abide in you. Lord, I pray that you'd bless the reading and the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name I ask these things. Amen. Would you please stand as we read John chapter 16, beginning in verse 25. I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. For the Father himself loves you, because you have loved me, and have believed that I have come from God. I came from the Father, and I have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father. His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and will leave me alone. Yet, I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart. I have overcome the world." Would you please be seated? Well, you've seen some of the figures of speech that he's been using. I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. I am the vine. I mean, those are figures of speech. That's not the way normally when we're going to say we're going to speak very plainly that we would use that kind of language. But now he's saying, I'm going to speak very plainly to you. The hour's coming. As a matter of fact, it has come right then. The disciples, they have not gotten it yet. Y'all know, I mean, the more you read the Gospels, the more you realize the disciples just didn't get it. They didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't get that he came from the Father. They didn't get that he was going to die and rise again. I mean, you can tell that by the questions they asked just recently. Where are you going? I mean, we don't even know where you're going, so how can we get there? Can you show us the Father? Because then we'll be okay. They're not grasping what's going on. And I'm not saying that in a way that, oh, I would have gotten it. I wouldn't have. But they didn't get it. We can look back now and say, they didn't get it. And over and over, you'll see in the Gospels that Jesus will say something, and then the disciples, they have like a meeting going, "Do you think he meant this? I don't know. What do you think he meant?" And then Jesus overhears them, and he's going, "Y'all don't get it. That's not what I meant." But right now, he's speaking very plainly. And how much more plain can you get? And I love it. And you can see already in my eyes, it moves me. Let me speak plainly about the Father. He loves you. There you go. He loves you. You have access to the Father. So the first thing he's beginning to say is, look, I want you to understand, you are, and here's the key word, accepted by the Father. You have access to him. Their whole lives they've heard, oh no, what you've got to do is you've got to go to a priest and he's got to make sacrifices, and then one time a year he's going to go behind the veil and he'll meet with God for you, for the nation. And he's going, no, that's over. He loves you. And you have access to him because he accepts you. As believers, you can approach God. It is because we are in Christ that we have direct access to God the Father. Amen? Direct access. Jesus taught them to pray when he says, let me teach you how to pray. How do we do this, Jesus? Our Father. He didn't say, go to someone else and they'll go to God. No, you go to him, our Father. In Ephesians, Paul says, through him, through Christ, we have access in one spirit to the Father. In Hebrews, we're told, approach the throne of grace boldly and confidently. And lastly, Peter says, we are the priesthood of all believers. We don't have to go through someone else. The Catholic Church has that completely wrong. I don't need to go to a priest to go to God. I go right to God. He fully accepts me. Man, I know if you're like me, and I know you are on this issue, you want direct access to things. How many times have you needed to get in touch with customer service? Exactly. And you dread it. You put it off and put it off as long as you can, and then finally you dial the number. And you know what happens. The recordings begin. Press 1 if you want to do this. And by the way, when you press 1, there's 10 different options so that when you press 1, you know you're going to another menu so they can narrow it down again. And I know what you do because I do it too. You're hoping that this system has... And if you none of these apply or you want to bypass all of these, what do? Press 0 so that you can start talking to a person. I don't want to talk to a recording. I don't want to go through that. I want to talk to a person. So immediately, sometimes you just risk it. You don't even know if this system works that way. You just press 0 and go, oh, good. Okay. I don't want to talk about all those options. So finally, you know what happens then. Due to high call volume, and they begin to tell you how long you're going to wait. Now, if it's a really good system, it'll tell you this, that your number has been recorded and you can hang up right then and you won't lose your place in line, and they'll call you back when you are at the front of the queue. Now, sometimes you're willing to take that risk because they'll say, it's 20 minutes, and you're going, oh, I'm not. I am not hanging on this phone that long. So you'll say, okay, that's fine. Sometimes they'll say, oh, it's 5 minutes, and you're thinking this, because again, I'm thinking, they're not going to keep my place in line. I'm going to stay right here. So you wait, and finally, you're going to get someone on the phone. And it doesn't take very long. If customer service cannot handle your problem, what do you begin to do? I want to speak to your supervisor, a manager. You want access. I'm telling you, you have a direct and immediate and an uninterrupted access to God the Father. You do not have to press 0. You do not have to wait in a queue. You don't have to see if he'll call you back. You go, our Father, I'm listening. What? And we neglect that. You can approach the Father, you can approach his throne of grace, and you can approach it confidently. Take your joys to Him. Take your sorrows to Him. Take your gratitudes. Take your disappointments. All of it. Every bit of it. Take it to Him. You have access to the King. We especially, and it's even more so, teenagers, you want your voice heard. Someone pay attention to me. How many followers do I have on Twitter? How many likes do I have on Facebook? Did anyone read my blog? Did I get thumbs up on my pictures? We want someone to listen. And I'm telling you, the Lord is ready to hear you. He's ready to hear you. He wants to hear all of those things. When you're proud of your son or daughter, tell the Lord, and He's going, good job. When you're disappointed, tell the Lord, I'm never leaving you. Tell Him. Talk to Him. He's ready to not only listen to you, He's ready to respond to you. And it's not because of who we are or what we can do for Him. It's not because we're a valued customer. It's not because of anything except this. He loves you. He loves you. It's not anything in me that He listens to me, but simply because I love Christ and I believe that He came from the Father. Jesus says, no more figures of speech. I'm going to speak very plainly. And He says this in one verse. I came from the Father and I've come into the world, and now I'm leaving the world and I'm going to the Father. I don't know if you realize that. There's the gospel. There it is. I came. It doesn't get any clearer than that. There's no mistake about if He is divine. I came from the Father. He wasn't born like you and me. When people say, hey, how old are you? We don't say, oh, well, I came here on this date. I was born. But He came. He came from somewhere. He was with the Father. And He left the Father and came here. He is divine. I've come into the world. Not only am I telling you where I came from, I'm telling you where I have arrived. I've come here. I was not man, but now I am. Now I am. I'm the God-man, fully God, fully man. And make note of this, that Jesus, when He talks about coming from God, He said, I came from God. It means that is a completed action. I came from God. It's over. I did that. But then notice that He says, I have come, or I am come, indicates a completed action that has ongoing results. And those results are, when He came, the result is we are saved and people are still being saved. And the result is we can have access to the Father. We will be with the Father one day. An ongoing result from a completed action. I'm leaving the world. I'm going to die. He knows the cross is at hand. And no one takes His life. He lays it down. He lays it down for us. And I'm going to the Father. He's returning from where He came. He's going to rise up. And when He leaves, He's going to send the Holy Spirit. And He's preparing a place for us. It's gospel. Jesus is God. He came. He became man. Not less God. Still fully divine, but fully man. He died on the cross and rose from the dead. And if you believe, and you love Christ, the Father loves you. If that is rejected, if someone says, I reject that, it's not because that's too difficult. He came from God. He came to earth. He left earth, and He went back to the Father. And He did that to save us. And if someone goes, I just reject it, it's not because it's complicated. They just reject Christ. Can't be any more plain than that. Matter of fact, look what the disciples say. Ah, now you're speaking plainly. And you're not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. All right.
Party time. They got it.
But let me tell you something. Jesus does not just paint this rosy picture for believers. He doesn't. Yes, we get to go. We are loved by the Father. And yes, we will be with the Father one day. He's preparing a place for us. But He is a realist about what it is to be a Christian in this world. He's a realist. And just like at the beginning, where He talks about a real acceptance by the Father, listen to me, He now talks about a real rejection by the world. A real rejection. Behold the hour, not the day, not the month, not the year. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered each to his own home and will leave me alone. Man, right there, they're going, we get it. You're the Son of God. We get it. And within hours, they are running. Think about that. Within hours, they are running afraid. Little servant girl. Do you know Jesus? Nope. When anyone tells you, if you visit another church or God moves you from here and you begin to visit another church and you're thinking, is this the place where the Lord wants me? If the pastor gets up and starts telling you that when you give your life to Christ, you will be healthy and wealthy and life will be wonderful, run away from that church. Maybe you will be wealthy. Maybe you will be healthy. I don't know. But that is no guarantee. What is guaranteed is the world will reject you. That's the guarantee. He doesn't paint a rosy picture for believers in this world. He paints a wonderful picture for believers in heaven, in the world to come. That's where the beauty is. We didn't cover it, but in chapter 15, this is the way Jesus describes life for the believer in the world. They hate you because they hated me. They will persecute you because they persecuted me. That's the way he describes it. So, by a show of hands, I would just want to know, hatred and persecution, who wants to sign up for that? Exactly. He's real with them. I love the way J.C. Ryle puts it because he knows who they are. He doesn't only know what's about to happen to him, he knows what they're about to do. And J.C. Ryle puts it like this, like young recruits, they had yet to learn that it is one thing to know the soldier's drill and wear the uniform, and it's quite another thing to be steadfast when you're in battle. Think about that. You know, I could be, I brag on him all the time. If you talk to me, I'll brag on him. Sometimes you hear me talk about Kendall, my son. He's in the Corps at A&M, and I am so proud of him. He gets up early in the morning, and he does PT, and he wears a uniform every day. And I am proud of what he's doing, but I have news for you. My son doesn't have a clue what it is to be in battle. Not a clue. Matthew Broderick, he was in a movie called Glory. Did any of y'all see that? You can raise your hand. You did, maybe, kind of. Civil War movie, Denzel Washington. There's a scene in that movie. It's the first black regiment fighting for the Union. He's trying to get them to where they're ready to go into war. And it's interesting, there's a scene there where his assistant commanding officer, and please don't ask me what his rank was and all that, I don't know, but he was assisting him getting this company ready to go into battle. And it shows him they had just gotten rifles. And this one guy, he is a dead aim. I mean, he's loading the rifle, and y'all know they had to do all of this stuff to get it ready to shoot, and they got one shot, you know. So he's loading the rifle, and he shoots, and he hits the target. And they're going, wow, this is amazing. Look how good of a shot this guy is. And maybe for those of you who've seen it, this is coming back. And Matthew Broderick gets there, and he's the commanding officer. And they're going, you got to see this. And he loads up the rifle, and he takes another shot, and he hits the target. And everyone's thinking that he is going to be impressed with the fact that this guy can hit a target. But he's not impressed because he says this, load your rifle. And he's going faster, faster. And he's shooting a revolver right by his head. And he's nervous and he can't really get the shot off. And then he takes a shot and he misses the target. And he goes, that's the point. We don't get to stand around and cheer him on when he's taking shots at the enemy. He will be in battle. He will have to do this extremely fast under a lot of pressure with bullets flying right by him. That's the point. And it's one thing to be with Jesus, saying, yay, Jesus, we're with you. But then we got to go out in the world where we are persecuted and hated. And the question is, do we scatter? Or do we say, we are ready for the battle? Parents, bring your kids to Sunday school. Bring them to church on Wednesday nights. We are getting them ready for the war. Every week I look at articles that deal with the ongoing events in our world, and I'm just going, oh my word, the war is getting worse and worse. We're here so that we can worship together and build one another up. We're learning the Bible, and we're praying together. But the war is much different than this. What's amazing is again, go back to the movie, Matthew Broderick, as he's the commanding officer, he's not saying, oh, let's don't shoot and march and all that. He's just saying, this is just getting them ready. And that's what we're doing here. We're getting ready. He tells them there's two real dangers. As a matter of fact, one commentator put it this way, we cannot be too confident in ourselves. I mean, here's the Apostle Peter. What does he say? Oh, no, I'm never abandoning you. No way. Not even till death. He's so confident in himself. We can't minimize the power of Satan. We can't. He knows how to get to you, how to get to me. And yes, God the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, that's God. But don't think for a moment that Satan is not powerful. He is. And he knows Paul Lyle's weakness. And he knows exactly when to strike. So don't put too much confidence in yourself. Don't diminish the power of Satan. And the last thing, don't doubt the severity of the storms. Don't doubt that. So there's two real dangers here. One of them is scattering. You're no longer with your brothers or sisters. You're alone. You're alone. That's what they did. They scattered. Now we do see them later that they're back together, but they scattered. They ran. Listen to me. Look right here, all of you. Satan wants you to be alone. He wants you to be alone. I used to, as a kid, I watched every National Geographic thing that came on, especially if there was a lion killing something, I wanted to see it. I watched Shark Week until I've gone, okay, I've seen enough shark attacks. Do you know what is common in every single time that you would watch a prey go after a predator? You already know this. Single them out. Get them out of the herd. Get them off to the side, then kill them. That's exactly what Satan does. Pull you away from the church. Get you away from your family. Take you away from your loved ones. Now you're ready for the kill. Always. It didn't matter whether I was watching lions or tigers or hyenas or sharks. The school, that was not a good place. Even for the shark, the school was about disorienting the shark so he couldn't attack. But once the fish was alone, done. Always. So scattering. And then listen to this, renouncing. Renouncing Jesus. And some of you are going, I would never renounce Jesus. By the way, renounce is not just declaring, oh, no, no, I'm not with Jesus. Renouncing is this. It is to stop consuming, stop using. I just don't go to the Bible anymore. I just don't go to prayer anymore. I just don't go to church anymore. I just don't do it. You're just renouncing. Those are the dangers. You're alone. You've scattered. You're no longer coming together with your family. Perfect time. Just rip you apart. I've seen it. You've seen it. How did they know that they were no longer, that they were really not believers? They don't come here anymore. You remember? That's what it says in Scripture. They went out from among us. They weren't here. They were by themselves. They left. They scattered. Set themselves up for the kill. Well, Jesus says, even though you're going to scatter, even though you're going to renounce, look at his comforting words. Even though you're going to do that, I will not be alone. Look what he continues to say. Behold, the hour is coming. Indeed, it has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet, I am not alone, for the Father is with me. So it is with us when we abide in Christ. We are never alone. Do you not see the contrast when he goes, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world there will be tribulation. Do you see the contrast? With Christ, peace. With the world, tribulation. When that tribulation comes, know this, I've overcome it all. Now please, please, please hear me on this. When it says that Jesus overcame the world, it doesn't mean that when you've gone through a tough time and you come out on the other side and you go, now, yeah, I see he's overcome. Even in the midst of your failures, in the midst of your sin, he's overcome that. When you abide in Christ, and you're like Peter, and you're saying, I don't even know him. And you're running away, and you're scattering, and Satan has singled you out. If you truly belong to Christ, and you're failing in your walk, he's going, but I still cover it. I still died for you. You're still mine. I've overcome all of these things. He was so patient with his apostles. Amen. And you're going to see next week, the last week of his famous last words, how patient he was with Peter. Some of you already know the passage I'm talking about. He's overcome. He's overcome their failures. I will never leave you. Never. Even when you are at death's door. Oh yeah, by the way, I've overcome that too. You will not die. You will be with the Lord in heaven forever. Amen? I've overcome it all. This morning, I just wanted to present to you what God, what Jesus said very plainly. In this world, you have much tribulation, but I have overcome it. You can have peace with me. Some of you, you do have much tribulation. School, work, your home life, you've hidden it well. It's all falling apart. Maybe it's just segments are falling apart. And you're holding it together so that you look a certain way. And all the time, Satan is going, I'm just singling you out so I can take you down. So I can kill you. And yet the Lord is saying, but with me, there's peace. because I've overcome it all. Are you abiding with Christ? Do you know the real acceptance of the Father who says, I love you because you love Christ and you believe that He came from the Father. I love you. I'm never leaving you. I'm saving you. This morning, as we come to the invitation, do you know the peace of Christ? Are you abiding in Him? Do you know the One who has overcome this world? Overcome our sin. Overcome death. So as Reuben comes and leads us, I'm asking you to respond. What will you do? Let's pray.